We've all learned, haven't we, in recent months and the last 2 years, this business of soaping the hands, rubbing between the fingers, making sure your nails are clean, and all of this, singing happy birthday to you all the way through before you wash your hands or rinse your hands afterwards. We've had all of that, haven't we? And to be fair, I think it stood us in good stead. It's been a very good practice, and I hope that we'll probably all continue doing that. But washing our hands is not what it's all about. If you remember, Jesus had an incident with the Pharisees where they said to him, "Why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat?" Now, to be fair, you know, I might join with the Pharisees with that and say, "You dirty people, why don't you wash your hands? It would be good if you did." Well, that isn't what Jesus was talking about, was it? Was he? He was saying that their hearts were clean, where the Pharisees were not. And the Pharisees were making this big deal of outer cleanliness, but they weren't having a clean heart. And of course, really, that's what matters. You see, God sees the heart. He knows what's going on, doesn't he? He knows what is going on inside of us. And that's why it's really important that our hearts are clean. It was relevant to me this morning that we started with Paul's warning in Corinthians that we should make sure our hearts were clean before we came to the table of the Lord. So cleanliness, they say, is next to godliness, except I don't believe that at all, unless we're talking about the heart. What's really important for all of us is that our hearts are presentable to God. You see, Jesus said this: "What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles a man. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile a man." What we have and what we allow to fester within us is what contaminates us, not what touches us. You see, the Old Testament law had lots of laws about being clean and unclean. And we'll talk a little bit about leprosy in a minute. But when it comes to being clean before God, there were all of these things you had to do to make sure that you were clean if you were going to the temple. You weren't allowed in if you had been contaminated in any way. If you had touched a dead body in the last 7 days, you couldn't go to church. Simple as that. There were various lists of things. If you had mould growing in your house, you couldn't. There were lots of things which you had to avoid. And these people who were following rules, which there was a certain sense to them, you know, if you had touched somebody who had died of a terrible disease, you might be carrying that disease and go to temple and touch people and give them the disease. So it made sense. But what doesn't make sense is if you take that to the nth degree and you just wash your hands and get them ceremonially clean, but you carry on with the works of sin in your life. Some people say sin is the only three-letter word that society doesn't like anymore. There are a lot of four-letter words, and most of them society has started to accept and tolerate. There was a big article in the press on Friday about schools tolerate children swearing at teachers now. And you know, that's pretty true, to be fair. But when it comes down to the three-letter word, sin, it's a word that we just don't like. And yet, it's a fact of life that all this stuff goes on in our head. And Jesus wanted to challenge what went on inside a man or a woman, rather than just what things appeared to be like. Jesus went to a very short man's house once, called Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, which meant he ripped you off. He got more from you than the Romans required, and he kept the difference for himself. And that was a terrible thing. These were, to the Jews, tax collectors were collaborators. If you can remember your wartime movies, that's what a tax collector was like, a collaborator. They hated these tax collectors, not just because they took the money, but because of what they represented. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to your house." Now, it's a wonderful example of a pun that Jesus made, because of course Jesus means salvation. Jesus, the name, means salvation. It means the power of God to salvation. Joshua is the same name in the Hebrew. Jesus is the same name in our Greek translation Bibles. And what we need to understand is that Jesus was saying, yes, I've come to your house today. Salvation has come to your house because it's me that's come. And, you know, we need to recognize that having Jesus come to our house is very important. Now, some of us are a little more house proud and some of us are a little less. I went to visit somebody this week and his flat was immaculate. And I felt I had to comment on it. And he said to me, well, that's because it's important to me to always live in a clean environment. And I thought, well, there you have it. It's a good example. But I'm not going to say any more because he's just left the room. But the fact is that having a beautiful, clean environment is not what it's about. It's about having an environment for God's Spirit within our heads and hearts. That is the remarkable thing. And that's what we need to work on. It's not enough to be sloppy in our thinking and in our intentions. Planning evil is just as bad as doing it. And we need to remember that. Jesus warns us not to do things that defile ourselves. So, my next slide says cleansing. And isn't it funny, when you search the internet for someone cleaning, it always comes up with a woman. Now, there's an interesting point. You see, not even the internet can shake off patriarchy. But cleansing is an important issue as long as what we're dealing with is inside us. You see, Hebrews 9 says this: if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who are defiled sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works to serve the living God? You will notice I have emphasized some parts of that text. Part of the Jewish law was that the ashes of a heifer were to be kept in a sacred place, and that a little spoonful, if you like, mixed with water would then be splashed on unclean people and unclean places to symbolically make them clean. And here, the writer to the Hebrews is invoking that bit from, I think it's Leviticus, if not it's Numbers, but I think it's Leviticus, where it talks about the ashes of a heifer. And what he says is that if those can purify our flesh, then how much more can the blood of Jesus purify our conscience? Now, one of the most common things people tell me as a pastor is, "Pastor, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I shouldn't be coming to church. I'm not good enough." And I sometimes get slightly annoyed, because actually church is full of people who are not good enough. We are not good enough. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And it also can cleanse our consciences. And you know what? We need to experience that cleaning power. We need the Holy Spirit to come in and do us an hour's cleaning in a morning and just help us make sure that we haven't followed the devil's yakking and listened to him and said, "Yeah, I'm not worthy. I'm rubbish." The devil loves to point out when we're wrong. And you know what? Sometimes we are. But he loves to jump in and say, "I told you, you're not good enough. You can't do this God thing. You can't be follower of God." But that Jesus comes along and he sprinkles his blood on our lives, and that blood brings the breakthrough so that we can say we are clean. And I think that's wonderful that Jesus makes us clean. Thank God for that. You know what? You are worthy to be in the temple of the Lord today, in the church. You are worthy to be in the church because Jesus Christ makes you worthy. I think it's really important sometimes that we deal with this. There's a tension here between two truths. Sometimes we carry a bit of filth with us when we come to the church. And God says, put it down as you come in. Leave it at the cross. God says, say to my son, wash me, cleanse me in your blood. And he will do that. And that's what we have to do. So yes, we do need cleansing. We need it cleansing on the inside. We need our minds cleansing. Sometimes we need to turn the TV off because it's coming to a scene that we really shouldn't be watching. And sometimes we have to watch what goes in. But in all of these things, we also need to balance that with, when you have been cleansed inside, you are clean. We need to remember that the devil who tells us that you are a dirty, filthy animal and you deserve nothing more than to go to hell, and he's going and he wants you to go with him, we are made clean in the blood of Jesus. And we have a change in direction, which we have to choose. We have to decide that change in direction. But then we can walk with Jesus, and our eternal intention is towards heaven and not towards hell. So it's important we realize that Jesus can not only deal with the sin that's written down against us and set us free and wipe the words off the page, you know, where the recording angel is jotting it down, Jesus can wipe it off the page. But he is also able to cleanse our conscience. He is able to take away that sense of unworthiness and feeling rubbish. Jesus wants you to know how much he loves you. And he has dealt with your sin. So we ought to live like he has. So, the Bible reading that Bill brought to us today was about Jesus touching a leper. Now, you may think the Old Testament rules about leprosy were a bit extreme. You know, the idea that they wore a bell round the neck and they had to ring it when they got near to anybody and shout out unclean, and they had to steer clear. And they would often be living, well, they would be living outside the community on the edge in their own little patch. And that's true, and you may feel that's a bit extreme. But when you have a communicable disease that goes through the body and damages it and causes it to not feel pain, so that when you trap your finger in a door and break it, you don't feel the pain, and so it gets diseased and it, to all intents and purposes, falls off before you've realised. And lepers, and leprosy still is out there in the Middle East, in North Africa in certain places. And lepers, you'll still see them with stubs for fingers, no nose. And the truth is, the outer flesh dies in pieces. And I once heard it described by someone who worked with lepers, that you know it's a leper when you press in on the leprous bit and it's squishy, which I always thought was the most revolting idea. But that's when you realise the compassion of Jesus, because it says, the leper said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, if you're a leper, being made clean means the disease is gone from your body. The white bits of skin, they've got blood flow back in them again. And to all intents and purposes, the way the scripture goes, you seem to get the idea from scripture that if any bits had dropped off, they'd regrown. But these lepers were in an awful state, and the acrimonious word that was spoken over them is, "You are unclean." Now, what did I tell you about you can't go to the temple if you've touched someone that's unclean? Jesus reached out and touched the leper. Squish. And then the leper was no longer a leper. The flesh got its blood supply back. The sores healed up. The skin regrew. And this man that Jesus touched became as you or I. I think it's really important that we understand that compassion touches the leper, touches the unclean. So many times I've read books where people went to work with leper colonies and eventually they caught the disease themselves and they died there. And one particular one that comes to mind, the man was so delighted to share in their disease because he felt that they were one together. And he was able to serve them until he was too ill. Well, you know, the compassion that Jesus gives us in our lives is that he will touch us even if we are unclean. Now, I'm not suggesting today that any of us have got leprosy. I hope you haven't. It's not common in this part of the world. But you know, the uncleanness that we have inside, Jesus wants to touch. This cuts against everything that our mental image of Jesus would show us. Jesus is holy. You know, in our minds, Jesus floats on air. Jesus is clothed in perfect white. He's got a halo around his head that shines gold. He is above us all. But actually, that isn't our Jesus. That's some sort of weird idea we've developed over the years. Our Jesus comes up to us and touches the unclean. even though that meant he couldn't go to temple. But when you are the God of the temple, you can go out to the unclean and touch them because of your compassion. The Bible's got this other word that's got a similar meaning, mercy. God shows mercy to those that are in need. And mercy is a word I think we generally understand. Compassion in the Greek, in our Greek New Testament, means literally mercy in action. It's literally the providing of mercy, the acting in mercy. That is compassion. When Jesus touches the leper, when Jesus touches the unclean, when Jesus touches us, that is compassion. It's the mercy of God. It's the kindness of God. We all know this verse, and most of us could recite it if cornered. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. We would love it if he had, as long as he wasn't condemning us, as long as he was condemning somebody else. In fact, some of us, we would all love to condemn Mr. Putin today. We would all love to see him judged. There are many of us that from time to time a feeling rises within us against someone else and we would love to see them judged. But God did not send his Son into our world for that reason. He sent him to dwell amongst us. John 1:14, for the Word became flesh and blood and dwelt in our neighbourhood. Or in another version it says, or tabernacled with us. Set up a tent in our backyard. That's what Jesus did. And it goes on to say here, those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do believe, those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. We need to remember, people, that Jesus has not come to condemn us. He's come to touch us in our uncleanness and impart to us the cleansing of his blood. It's better than the ashes of a heifer. It's better than the blood of a lamb. It's the blood of God's lamb. Jesus cleanses us and sets us free. I just want to encourage you today that you might feel unclean. Well, initially, that's a healthy thing, as long as what you do is say, Lord Jesus, please forgive my uncleanness. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb, and make me whiter than the snow. And then, as long as you expect him to answer that, and you live as such as he has, as long as we ask, the Bible tells us that whenever we ask Jesus for his touch, for his forgiveness, we have received it. And when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin. When we say that we have no sin, well, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. Because if you have no sin, God can't forgive you. And if we are not forgiven, we are stuffed, which is a technical term, it's a theological term. But we are stuffed unless we can be forgiven. And I want to suggest to you today, we should always be open with God. In some church traditions, you go for confession on a Saturday and communion on a Sunday. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should set up a little booth in here on a Saturday with a curtain between them, and I'll sit on one side. playing with a Nintendo while you're talking, and I'll just say 10 Hail Marys and go home. I'm not suggesting that we should do that, but confession is the natural response of the Christian. It's what we should do when we have failed God. And sometimes it's good for us just to sit down and say, Lord, show me if there's been any wicked way within me. And sometimes we just need to say that to God, and believe me, God will always answer that prayer. And then all we do is say, now, Lord, please forgive me. I am sorry. Of course, we have to be sorry. It's pointless doing it if you're not actually sorry at all. But if we are sorry, God will indeed forgive us. And that means that the impact on the inside of us is the same as the impact on the outside of the leper. That which is unclean is taken away, and we are restored. Thank God that He still has compassion. You know what? For years, I have heard preachers say, and many times I've done it myself, Jesus is walking up and down these aisles. If you ask Him now, He'll reach out and touch you. And there have not been many occasions when I have physically felt Him touch me, although there have been some. But I'll tell you this, there has not been a time since the 21st of April 1968 when I first prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. There has not been a time when He hasn't touched me in my uncleanness when I've cried out to Him and He has taken it away. Thank God that my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You'll know that old hymn. And I'm revealing my age by even reciting it. You know, Jesus comes to take away our uncleanness. And it's ever so simple to describe people who are no longer unclean. It's clean. Jesus touches you and it's like a zap, and you've gone from unclean to clean. And that is the way that we should live. Not because we become super fantastic Christians who can float on air and are uncontaminated by this world, but because we know we are contaminated by this world, and we can come to Jesus, confess our sin, and he sets us free. It says in the first letter of John, it says, if any sin, you should confess your sin, and He will forgive. And that's an amazing truth, and it's the reality of the gospel. That's why we keep calling it gospel, which means good news, because it's such good news. Jesus comes along and touches us in our uncleanness, and instantly we are made clean. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to You in the name of Your Son Jesus, our Saviour, and we just say to You, thank You, Lord, that we come in our uncleanness and You take away the un. We thank You that Jesus gives us His righteousness so we can have right standing with the Father. Father, we thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away all sin. We thank You that it is much more effective than the ashes of a heifer in water. We thank You that it is much more effective than years of therapy. We thank You that it is much more effective than anything that man can offer, because it's a God thing. And we thank You that You indeed are God. We ask You today that You would help us to live with a clean conscience, knowing that You have done a work inside us. We thank you, Father, for every heart in this place, for everyone who's listening online. We thank you, and we pray that for all of us, we might live rejoicing, knowing that you have made us clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.